Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94 Cricket Every Day. My name is Mark Machado from the Mirror End, and I'm joined as always by Estelle Vazu-Devon from the Paparate. Estelle is back from her adventures in Australia. Sri Lanka on 99.94 is your new home for Sri Lanka content. We'll be dropping into your podcast feed and on YouTube and the 99.94 app several times every week. So do please rate, review and subscribe and tell all your friends that we're here. Thanks for joining Cricket's Conversation. Estelle, firstly, welcome back. How does it feel to be back in Sri Lanka after your Australian exploits? You must be really happy.
Well, I'm happy about certain things. Also kind of wish I'd stayed a bit longer because that month just flew by. It was an incredible kind of opportunity for me. So thankful for it. Thankful also to be back. A bit of TMI. Thankful for bidet sprays in Sri Lanka. So yeah, just, you know, thankful to be back. But yeah, I miss Australia a little bit.
Oh dear. I'm sure the man of cricket that's played, you'll be back there in no time. And before you know it, you'll be there half the year. Estelle, today we're talking about the IPL. We're talking about IPL retention. Last season was quite a good iteration of the IPL from a Sri Lankan perspective because we had six players there. I think broadly speaking, there was kind of a debate that sparks up in Sri Lanka every now and again about, you know, we shouldn't let our best players go play an IPL. They're trying to work out our, you know, it gives a chance for some of the other batsmen around the world, particularly Indian batsmen, to figure out what our best bowlers are up to. And it gives, you know, everyone else a chance to have a look at our best batsmen. I think that argument is pretty much dead in the water, even though we know that Arjuna Ranatunga, Sri Lanka's World Cup winning former captain, does occasionally talk about that. But I think broadly speaking, I think most people are of the belief now in and around Sri Lankan cricket that playing in the IPL is a good thing, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when it comes to, you know, figuring out bowlers or batsmen or whatever, it works both ways, right? So your best players are playing against some of the better players in the world. So they've got the opportunity to learn from them as well. So overall, I think generally, there is definitely a kind of a more positive kind of turn of perspective on it now. I don't think you could say the same maybe about 5-6 years ago, but definitely now I think there's definitely a change of perspective where also I think people are understanding that this, belatedly understanding that this is a profession for these players, right? I mean, that kind of money can change lives. So A lot more positive. I don't know if Arjuna Ranatunga's perspective has changed on it, but yeah.
Yeah, his perspective might not have changed, but I think, you know, it's important that you said it works both ways, because I also think we'll talk about who's been retained and who's not been retained, but definitely for some of the players, you can see like quite vast improvements in the way they play cricket and the way they, you know, their thinking and tactics around the game. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of that has come from the coaches that SLC have provided for them. And, you know, they're just natural improvement anyway. But you have to wonder, you know, going away and working with the best players in the world in a very ultra-professional environment. I'm not saying that's, you know, Sri Lankan cricket don't provide a professional environment, but equally professional, at least, environment, and working with different coaches can sometimes, you know, just give you a different train of thought and make you raise your game. And that's why I bang on about this in social media a lot. I think it's really important that we have as many players playing in the best leagues around the world as possible. And I think, you know, everyone should be behind it. Obviously, you know, what do I know about cricket compared to Arjuna Ranatunga? He's entitled to his view. Estelle, should we go through the list? So last year, as I said, there were six players playing IPL. Let's talk about the players who've been retained. Hasaranga has been retained by RCB. I think this is quite obvious one. He had a really good tournament last year. It's interesting because he played in that, if you remember two seasons ago, so not last season, the season before that, the IPL, because of COVID, ended up being truncated into two parts. And he played in the second part of that. And he didn't do massively well, but he was still got, you know, he still got back there. I thought you saw the improvement. You know, I talk about players improving. I thought he's one of those players who probably improved the most being around that kind of environment. And he made himself an integral part of at least the bowling lineup for RCB last season, right?
Yeah, I think, like you said, he didn't have the best of starts in his IPL career, but last season he was one of the key players for RCB, and obviously they're looking for a title win. And you know, you can't, even if he didn't have such a great season, just seeing how what he's done over the last year, it would have been tough to kind of let him go, because you're always kind of aware of what could happen with him, because he's done so well with both bat and ball over the last season. I think one thing that he definitely want to kind of prove and you know, catch their eyes with is his batting, because he's batting at 8-9 for RCB. I mean, if you watch the World Cup, you'd probably argue that's not a bad idea, but we know how good he is with the bat and what he can do with the bat. So he'd want to kind of move up in that, but he looks like a definite starter, doesn't he, in that RCB lineup?
Yeah, he looks like a starter. You know, they came close last season. They'll want to build on that momentum last year. I can't see a huge amount of changes in their backroom staff as well. So I think it will largely be, you know, they're not one of the teams that's released a huge amount of players as well. So I think it will largely be last year's squad just having another crack at it. And I'm interested to see which players they bring in to supplement the squad that they already have, actually, because they're pretty strong in all departments. So let's see what happens with RCB. It's definitely going to be interesting. The next player being retained is Tikshana. This is obviously someone we've spoken about quite a lot recently. Again, you know, he was signed up by Super Kings. It looks to me, I think he's playing in their in their UAE franchise when that starts as well. It looks to me that they're gonna,
or the South African one,
or he's playing in one of their other teams as well. So he's which to me seems like that's a sign that he's probably quite important for their plans going forward. As you know, we talked about this in the previous episode where we took a deeper dive in his career. He's still so young, and there's still a lot more to come from him, right?
Yeah, I think he's one guy CSK in particular won't want to kind of. He seems like one of the long term kind of choices for them, particularly with the type of surfaces they play on at home. A lot of slow, low kind of tracks that are prepared there. He's ideal for kind of those kinds of tracks. And when you've got guys like Dhoni in the squad, right, from Tikshana's perspective, there's no better place for him to be. I don't think amongst the teams in the IPL, there's a better team, better suited for him, particularly with, you know, like I said, like Dhoni in that setup. You've got a lot of experienced players. You've got a team or franchise that has won a lot of titles and knows how to win. So for him, I think it's a particularly good kind of franchise to be in. Of course, for them as well, he's a fantastic, I think, a bargain for whatever price they paid for him last time, because he offers so much with the ball. We discussed it last week about, you know, just the kind of roles he's been able to fulfill for Sri Lanka in the T20 World Cup. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes in the IPL, what sort of role he's given, because we did see kind of, you know, bowling in the power play, death, middle overs, everywhere, you know, because Sri Lanka had so many issues with injuries. But I think he will have a more consistent and kind of settled role with CSK. So that'll be really interesting to see. Another guy who maybe we can see a bit more with the bat, I'm hoping, yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I mean, Estelle, you're at the forefront of Dick Schneider as an all-rounder campaign across all platforms here. So I'm waiting for this to happen. I'm sure it's going to happen. It could happen in the next few weeks. It could happen in the next few months. But we know at some point, Dick Schneider the all-rounder will appear. I think the other thing, if we're talking about Dick Schneider and Hasaranga, is both the sides that they're at will know that they will be playing the IPL. There is no doubt about that this season. And the question really is, you know, even if there was some bit of the sides that wanted to let go of him, it's, well, do you want to let an opposition team take him?
Exactly.
Because I think at this point, both of them are so hot that you don't want that to happen, right? Because they all, like, Dick Schneider, both of them pretty much guarantee you your wicket at this point in their careers, I'd say. And if they're not getting wickets, they're going for very few runs. They aren't playing Australia in Perth. So, you know, Wanindu isn't going to have any of the problems he might have had there. They're absolutely brilliant, world-class T20 bowling options. So I think that there's no doubt that they were going to be retained, because you don't want to let, you know, for no other reason, you don't want to let the opposition get hold of them. Shall we talk about Bhanika Rajapaksa? He's been retained by Punjab Kings. I was going into the announcements this week, I was a 50-50 about whether or not they'd keep him, only because I thought he had a really, really good IPL last season, but only because Punjab Kings stuck to form and kind of let go of a lot of players. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe he might be one of them. But they've retained him. I think, firstly, he had a really good season. I think, secondly, he's become a bit of a fan favourite because he just hits the ball around. And also, I think because of his, you know, he's got quite a friendly character. And thirdly, I think he's relatively cheap compared to other players in his position, right?
Yeah, I think that, like you, I was also unsure about Bhanika, particularly because kind of Punjab Kings seem like a bit more volatile in terms of, you know, the changes they bring in every season. But you're right. I think it's again a case of, do you want to let go of him and then, you know, spend a much bigger amount of money to get someone who can play a similar type of role for you? Or do you keep him and give him another go? So I think it's a good option that Punjab Kings have taken. I hope he gets to start most games. Like you said, he had a really good start to the season last time. But I believe when Bairstow came in, then, you know, he had to make way for him. And then when he came back, he didn't really have as much of an impact as he did when he started off. But just the type of player he is, I think, plays into their type of cricket. Punjab Kings is a very attacking side, particularly with the bat. So just the way he plays, I think, really goes with what they are trying to do as a franchise. So hopefully it'll be another good season for him, a better season than last time, because he didn't have a good World Cup. So I guess in some ways he has a bit to prove as well, because I mean, we spoke about it. He went into the World Cup saying that his goal was to be player of the tournament or highest run getter or whatever. So, bit of a point to prove after a disappointing World Cup. So, I hope he can do well. Punjab also, one of the kind of the underdogs. So, you always want to see those kinds of teams do well in the tournament as a whole.
Yeah, I thought last season he showed great character because he started so well in the IPL. And then the minute Johnny Bairstow arrived, he got dropped from the side. And I thought that was kind of unfair, because I don't think you should ever drop form players. And he got himself back into the team, which, you know, was brilliant. Obviously, Johnny Bairstow, who had that accident playing golf, and is, you know, currently he's got a broken leg. He'll probably, you know, from the time frames that I see written about in England, Bairstow should be available for the IPL. But I imagine, you know, part of the thinking was, well, these are actually, you know, Barnacu is a natural replacement for Johnny if you're not going to play both of them. So, and we know Johnny's injured at the moment. It's a broken leg. It could be an easy fix. He could come back exactly the same player, or there could be some complications in rehab. So let's keep hold of him. I think also, you know, me and you have talked again extensively about Barnacu, and I think he is a confidence player. And I think the fact that he's got this nod will do him a world of good, and he deserves it. And again, you know, we talked about the other two. I think he's one of those players. I mean, he's spoken publicly about going to the IPL and what the extra coaching and having a specific coach for him has, how it's improved his game. And the thing that is most important about him is that at least data people would say is most important about him is his strike rate. And he maintains quite a high strike rate, even when he gets out. Though, obviously, people in the comments will probably point to that England game, I know. But in general, he retains quite a high strike rate. The fourth retention was probably the one that I thought was most surprising, but only because he's yet to make an impact on the international stage. But he was absolutely sensational when he bowled for CSK last year. That's Matija Patarana, the very young, Malinga-inspired seamer. He felt it came, you know, he got drafted in during the IPL, very late in the IPL. I believe he was there as a net bowler anyway. CSK gave him a contract. He got a wicket on his first ball. And I mean, you couldn't want a better start. I think everyone in and around Sri Lankan cricket knows that this kid's got the potential to be an absolute handful. And what's interesting to me is that CSK are obviously doing a lot of research on young Sri Lankan players. They've got Dikshana. They've got Dikshana when he barely played any international cricket. They've now got Patarana as well. The fact they've retained him at this age, again, feels to me like this is a nod for, this is somebody you want to have involved in the franchise going forward. I think it's exciting for Sri Lankan cricket. I know a lot of people seem to be quite frustrated or couldn't quite understand why he hasn't played more for Sri Lanka. I think he is still very raw. And I think it bodes well that, you know, we've got players that are actually not very close to the national side who are playing in the best leagues of the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a great opportunity for him, right? Just like you said, picked before he had even made his international debut. And then you have a team like a franchise like CSK, like I mentioned with Tikshana, like they've won championships, they know how to win, they've got a great, you know, setup going. You have a team like that retain you, and that could do wonders for your confidence. I'm sure he probably was a little bit disappointed that he didn't get to play in the World Cup. Sri Lanka had so many injuries, but still he didn't get called up despite being part of like the Asia Cup squad. So he would have been disappointed, but I'm sure the fact that CSK of all teams has decided to retain him, I'm sure will give him a lot of confidence, because he didn't do much. I mean, he only got a handful of games last season, but whatever he's done has obviously impressed the management. And I think he's another bargain, right? Maybe he's not playing the entire season for you, but he can come in for a couple of games, and fulfill that kind of role as a death bowler or that kind of surprise package for your team. So I think it's a win-win for both the team, the franchise, and Patirana. I hope that he gets more game time like Barnacu, that he does get more game time. But I don't think he should be too disappointed if he doesn't play the entire season, because just being in that setup itself will, I'm sure, help him a lot going forward, particularly with the World Cup, the 50-over World Cup coming up next year in India as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Should we take a quick break and let's talk about the players who haven't been retained when we get back?
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sarah Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
So Estelle, two Sri Lankan players haven't been retained. Let's talk about Chamira first. He wasn't retained by my team, Lucknow Super Giants. I was really surprised at this, actually, and I suspect the main reason is his injury record. Essentially, since the IPL, he's been wrapped up in cotton wool, and it's not quite worked out for him. We know he had to leave the World Cup early. We know that he's had an operation, and I wonder if they just thought at this stage we don't want to take a risk and free up a spot. Chamira's played in two editions of the IPL now, and he's been quite very good in both of them, and he's improving. I suspect he'll get picked up in the draft next time round, on the proviso that he can kind of prove out his fitness. The draft is, I think, the 23rd of December, so almost a month and a few days afterwards. I've no update on his fitness beyond what I see on social media. So I think it might just be a case of can he prove out his fitness to prospective teams, and he may well even find himself back in Lucknow. Who knows?
Yeah, I was also really surprised, but like you said, it you have to kind of think it's to do with his injuries, right? Because you can't, for a team like Lucknow Super Giants who are new to the IPL, they can't really afford to have just carry a player through a season without them having, you know, without them being able to take part. So I think that's probably the reason why they let him go. But again, it's an opportunity for him. Maybe he gets picked up by one of the bigger sides and gets to play a bigger role for whatever side he is picked in. I think he will get picked in the draft, but I mean, stranger things have happened, right? Like bigger players have missed out on opportunities. But I've seen a lot of like Australians pulling out of the IPL, so maybe that's an opportunity waiting for Chamira.
Yeah, because he's like a you could compare it to Pat Cummings. I don't know. I suppose Pat Cummings possibly gives you a bit more with the bat. There you go. And then Charmica, Karuna Ratne, has been released by KKR. I don't think this was a surprise. He wasn't involved in any of the fixtures last season. In fact, they let him go early to join up with I can't remember what Sri Lanka squad it was. I think it might have been the squad getting ready for the Australia series. He's not had a great 2021. Sorry, he had a great 2021. He hasn't had a great 2022 thus far. We know that he will not be in Sri Lanka's ODI squad for Afghanistan. I haven't seen an actual official press release yet, but they did say in the media briefing for the LPL, because it came up in the questions, that he won't be involved. He's not been dropped for disciplinary reasons. They made that clear. I think he just needs to go away and find a little bit of form somewhere. But I do have some empathy for him, because I think he's the one who's quite often asked to do the hard tasks. He has to bat with the tail enders, and he has to, normally he ends up bowling where no one else wants to bowl, when we've totally run out of other options. And I suppose he's just not had a moment recently where he's totally excelled, and he's the first kind of victim, I suppose, of Sri Lanka's bad form at the World Cup. Though I'd kind of argue that maybe he wasn't the greatest form going into it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I also do feel a bit of sympathy towards him, because I feel like in the past, not the World Cup per se, he didn't have a very good World Cup, and not many of the Sri Lankans did have good World Cups, right? But in the past, and we've spoken about this before, the stats don't necessarily kind of reflect how well he's done. Now, even him being dropped from the ODI squad, I've seen a lot of people on social media, on Twitter, discussing how his average in ODIs is this much, whatever, right? But I don't. That doesn't give you the full story. The truth is, in the past year, a lot of these little kind of periods of play where Sri Lanka have needed something to happen, he has kind of been one of the main players who made that happen. Like, you know, get a crucial wicket, score a boundary at a crucial time. Maybe he finishes with 6 or 4, right? But he's hit a boundary when you really needed it. Or he finishes with 1 wicket in his 10 overs, but he's taken a crucial wicket. So I do think with players like him in particular, who is not, you wouldn't call him a bowler or a batsman, right? He is definitely a bit of a bits and pieces kind of player. And I don't mean that like in a bad way, in a negative way. He is a bit of a, like a bits and pieces player. So it's difficult to kind of judge him on based on his batting average or bowling average. It's very, I think, contextual. You have to look at the types of situations he comes in. But coming back to the IPL, I don't think it was surprising at all. In fact, I think last year, them picking him was a surprise. But he didn't get to feature in any of the games. I'm sure it was a good experience for him. I think his bowling certainly did, like his pace improved after that kind of the month he spent with the KKR unit. So it's not a surprise that they've let him go. I am doubtful that he'll get an opportunity this time, particularly as he didn't feature at all last year and he hasn't had the best of World Cups as well. But I think it's a good time for him to go back and kind of reset a little bit. He, like much of the many of the others, is also a bit of a confidence player, right? And you can see that once he didn't have good performances, you could see the shoulders kind of drop and, you know, a little bit of doubt creeping in, I think, because, you know, these players are human too, right? They see what's going on social media. They see what people are talking about, you know, and there's a lot of criticism. Weirdly enough, he's one of the first guys who gets kind of criticized, right, when Sri Lanka don't do well.
Yeah.
So it's the talent is obviously there. The ability is there. So I don't think there's any reason to doubt that, but maybe it's time to just go back, rethink things, rethink how he wants to go forward. Maybe look at focusing more on one of either the bowling or the batting so that he can get into the side as a pure bowler or pure batter and then kind of, you know, work on the other aspects. Because to me, I was a doubter at first, like a year ago, if you had asked me about Chamika Karunaratne, my perspective would have been completely different. But I do think that he has a lot to offer Sri Lanka cricket in particular and in T20 cricket in particular. So hopefully this time off cricket is a good kind of period for him to work a little bit more on himself.
And the other thing that can happen in cricket quite often is sometimes the best thing for your reputation can be not playing. Sometimes
the best players are on the bench, right? You've never been as good as when you've been on the bench.
Exactly, right? Your reputation grows and suddenly people realise what you're doing. I mean, some of the fielding I've seen from Sri Lanka sides in the very recent past has been so bad, I'd say you could almost justify having a specialist fielder, and he's one of our best fielders. So maybe keep him in the squad just for that. Let's take a quick break, Estelle. When we get back, let's have a look at which players we think could end up with IPL contracts after the next mini auction.
I'm Neil Manthorpe, one half of South Africa on 99.94 with Lungani Zama. We're covering the Rainbow Nation as it undergoes its biggest transition since readmission. We cover every part of the South African game on 99.94, and you can hear us several times a week where you find your podcasts or on YouTube.
So Estelle, there's all the teams, all the IPL teams have put out their retention list. We know there's roughly about, I think, 30 spots for overseas players. That doesn't mean all 30 will be fulfilled, but it means that there's potential opportunity for a few more Sri Lankan players to be part of the tournament. I think the question, and I suspect almost all the Sri Lankan players will want to play in it. If they're not already there, I think the real question is which players do you think are most likely to fill those spots? The difficulty with these drafts is you never know what's going to happen at the draft itself. I mean, how many times do you follow these drafts and the players who are tipped to be the hot picks don't get selected? And also from a player's perspective, I think the frustration thing is that, you know, the teams are getting more savvy about how to use these drafts. Yeah. And they understand there's no point collecting eight of the best opening batsmen in the world. You have to have more balance in the side. And, you know, therefore, I mean, the two players I'd love to see play in the IPL will be Kissel Mendes and Nisanka. But actually, realistically, you look at it and you'd say India's, you know, the depth of opening batting talent in India has never been higher, and actually probably the hardest place to pick up a IPL contract is as an opening batter, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like you said, that's one of the biggest differences between franchise cricket and international cricket, right? Like, teams are a lot more savvy on, you know, and there's no kind of, how do I say it, like this emotional kind of connection, right? Where, oh, he's done so well in this, we have to pick him. That emotion is removed from franchise cricket. So they don't see things how a national team would see things. So, I mean, in Sri Lanka, we've had situations where we've had like six openers, right? I mean, you're trying to fit as many openers.
Well, currently, there's basically our top four is four openers, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, in the IPL, like you said, and I also think in T20 cricket, opening the batting is the easiest position to be in. It's a lot tougher to come in beyond that, like at your 3, 4, 5, 6. I think even more than 5, 6, it's 3 and 4 that's tough, because you're kind of caught trying to adjust to what happens in the first 6 overs and then, you know, trying to set a foundation for the latter order as well. So the Kusal Mendes, I would think could be an option, but would be difficult to pick. For me, I think someone like Dilshan Madhusankar will be somebody who a lot of, maybe the smaller teams will have their eye on, because again, he's kind of an unknown quantity and he's done well. Bowls quick, lift arm bowler, you don't get too many of them. So I think he's one player who maybe a couple of teams will have their eyes on, but of course he's out with injury, so we don't know whether how long that's going to keep him out for, and you know, the details there. And the other one, and I think he was unlucky to kind of miss out last season, was Dasun Shanaka. I think he offers enough as a batter alone, not even as an all-rounder, but as a batter alone, to get a contract at one of the teams. He didn't have the best of World Cups, but I think, again, he's the type of player who comes in a lot of difficult situations. And over the last year, he's done a really superb job for Sri Lanka, coming in at number 6. So maybe there's an opportunity for him. I think a lot of those teams in the IPL would benefit from having a player like him. I do think a lot of them still see him as more of a bowling all-rounder, which is weird. I know he kind of rose to the spotlight because of his bowling, but he's always been more of a batter than a bowler. So maybe that's the reason why he didn't get picked last season as well. But I think he has a lot to offer in that lower middle order for whatever team in the IPL. I think all teams could benefit from having him.
I agree on those two. I also think the other two that teams might have a look at would be Lahiru Kumara. I think potentially, because there's not many players that come out the subcontinent who bowls at the kind of pace that he can, and as kind of consistently as he can as well. I wonder if one of the smaller teams might take a punt on him.
Yeah, and
on
I think
him.
Players like from Sri Lanka, they don't, unless you're a Hasaranga, they don't tend to go at big price tags, right? So someone like Lahiru Kumara could be a real bargain, you know, for one of like maybe the base price or whatever. if he does set the right kind of base price, because maybe he doesn't play the entire season for you, but he could be a really big impact player for some of those teams.
Yeah, exactly. And the other player, just because he's had quite a good 6 months, or not even 6 months, last 3 months, and I think if he has a good LPL, which finishes, I think, 2 days before, or the day before the draft starts, I think is Dada Jaya Da Silva, because he's got that kind of bits and pieces about him. He can kind of do... obviously, we know what it's best for him to open the batting, but I think just being a batting all-rounder effectively is quite an effective... It's quite a strong hand to go into an auction like the IPL auction, and we know that he can get runs on pretty much any surface, and he can, and his bowling's pretty effective on almost any surface. Though I don't know, you know, we're still under. There's a lot of mystery why he doesn't often bowl his four overs out when he plays for the national side. But maybe for an IPL side, he could represent great value in it. The other one player I would chuck in there, he's obviously one of my favourites and gets mentioned in this podcast way too much, is Wellala Gay, just because, again, he's young and I think you get him cheap and you can groom, you know, I see him as a kind of little Hasaranga. So you could potentially, groom him, get him in early, get him in cheap and build a team around him for, you know, in the next few, for 5 or 6 years time at least, depending on, I suppose, on when the next mega auction is. So I think we could end up in a situation, or we should end up with at least six players playing in the IPL. I think if Sri Lanka has a good auction, it could be as high as nine, but it'll probably be six or seven, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think six would be the number. I'm not entirely sold on the type of role the likes of like Dhananjay Da Silva can play in an IPL team, just because the surfaces tend to be more betting friendly. And like we spoke about, you know, those opening spots or those top three spots are very difficult to get any space in. And I wonder if IPL teams are kind of moving away now from that type of player. You saw Kane Williamson getting released. I mean, how long has he been in the IPL, right? He's spent at least the last 5-6 years in the IPL. So maybe they're kind of moving away from that type of player who the anchor in the side. But I do think with the incredibly high amount of matches that players from England, Australia are playing, that them dropping out would give opportunities to a lot of Sri Lankans. So we did see like someone like Pat Cummins. So maybe Lahiru Kumara is your replacement for Pat Cummins. Rightfully so.
I'd much rather have Kumara in my side than Pat Cummins, and you can quote me on that. Don't eye roll. Come on, this is Sri Lanka 99.94. Should we leave it there so you can eye roll in peace the rest of the day, Estelle?
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast, and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform, or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Monty in the Fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.